Church, let's lift up the name of Jesus all over this lawn. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. God is good, church. God is good. Hey, I want to pray just together this morning about something that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and that is I want to come against the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. Now, taking precautions, that's one thing. Common sense precautions, that's good. But moving into the arena of fear, that's something else. Fear binds us up. It holds us back. It can be so oppressive. And I'm sure you've sensed what I've sensed as I'm walking around and going into stores and different places. It's not just that people are wearing masks or people are distancing and all of that kind of stuff. It's that there's an actual oppressive spirit that has come upon people's lives. Isn't that right? Listen, and so much of this, it's media driven, but also it's Satan taking advantage of the situation. Right? 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So fear, according to the Bible, there's an actual spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear. Now, again, God has given us common sense and wisdom, and we need to use those things for sure. That is different, though, from having a spirit of fear. And so in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over you today. And perhaps you have sensed that fear, that oppression. The Bible says so much about us guarding our minds. It says, let the peace of Christ fill our lives so that it will guard our hearts and our minds. The Bible talks about having the helmet of salvation. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So I want to pray today God's covering over our minds, because there's just so much nonsense out there in our world. So much nonsense out there that is not the truth of God. We read the, you know, papers, if you still do that, you see the news, and sometimes it's hard to know what to believe, isn't that right? It's hard to know what the truth is. I'll tell you what the truth is. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is truth. And so the way we know truth is by being filled with His Holy Spirit and established in His Word, right? So instead of paying so much attention to the news, pay more attention to the good news, the gospel, amen? So I want to pray today, just covering over our hearts, over our minds, over our thought lives, and especially for those of you today that have just found yourself maybe having a spirit of fear or just feeling oppressed by the enemy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I just want to pray for an uplift in your spirit through the name of Jesus today, and a covering over your mind. So if you've kind of felt like, man, my thought life, my mind has just been under attack, I want to pray especially for you. And here's what I'd like you to do. This might seem a little strange. Just as a point of faith and contact, I'm going to ask you to do something as I'm praying for you. If you're struggling with fear, anxiety, I'm going to ask you to just put your hand on your head, right? You're going to lay your own hand on your own head, all right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. And, God, your word tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. So, in the name of Jesus, we declare that our thought lives are not going to be dictated and governed by the news of this world. They are not going to be dictated and governed by the spirit of fear. They are not going to be dictated and governed by the enemy who is a liar. But God, that our thought lives are going to be directed because we have a renewed mind in Jesus Christ. I come against that spirit of fear, that spirit of oppression, that spirit of discouragement, in the name of Jesus. And I declare over your church that even though these are difficult times that we're walking through, The fact is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that you have said that on this rock, you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in the name of Jesus, we declare that truth, the truth of Jesus, is going to guide our hearts and guide our minds and guide our decisions and guide our emotions and guide our families and guide our homes. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone let out a loud amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm back on. Amen. Well, we're going to get into God's Word in just a minute. Before we do that, give a few folks an air high five, all right? I want to say a big thank you to all the folks. A lot of people come early and help set things up so that we can do church out here on the lawn. Can we just give it up for all of our volunteers that are coming early? Amen. Listen, I know this can be a confusing time, but here's what I know. I know what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good. Amen. And I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks or 2 months. I'm not going to pretend that I know exactly how things are going to unfold in the next few months. I don't know. So I can't make any promises, but here's what I will do. I'll give you three promises, okay? Whatever happens, we will come up with a plan that will be directed by the Holy Spirit. I'll promise you that. Second promise I'll give you is we will carry out that plan with excellence. We will do our best to have great gatherings no matter what the circumstances are. All right? And my third promise is we will communicate with you clearly. All right? I can't promise you anything, but I'll tell you, when we know something, we're going to communicate clearly. So there's my three promises. All right? Whatever happens, we'll have a plan. Whatever that plan is, we will do with excellence. And whatever that plan is, we're going to communicate that very clearly. Right now, our plan is to continue to have our gatherings right out here on the lawn. Seems to be working great. In fact, I want to encourage you to invite people to come to church because people need Jesus. Amen? People are lost. They're confused. They feel alone. This is a perfect time for the church not to shrink back, but to move forward in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. So that's our plan right now. In fact, we're working on an idea to build a bigger stage out here and actually have a wood stage. We're going to do water baptisms next Sunday. You say, how can we do water baptisms out here? We bought a horse trough. We bought a horse trough. We really did. So we've got a few folks. They're going to be baptized next Sunday, and we're going to have an awesome, awesome day next week. All right, well, let's open up God's Word. We're going to continue our series this morning through the Gospel of John, and we are in John chapter 5, and I just want to apologize. I got to say, it feels weird for me to be speaking to you with sunglasses on. It feels a little rude to me, but it's better than burning out my retinas, so the way it's going to be. I tried it earlier this morning without the shades and it doesn't work. And so here we go. John chapter 5. We've been working our way through John's gospel. Remember that John has a very unique perspective on Jesus because John, of all of the apostles that were close to Jesus, John was the very closest to Jesus. John was Jesus's best friend. And so John gives us a different perspective even than the other gospel writers. Now, all the gospels are anointed. I'm just saying that John gives us a different perspective. In fact, 90% of what we find in the Gospel of John is not found in the other gospels. It's unique to the Gospel of John. And so John is going to share with us things that the other gospel writers don't share with us. So John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. There are a great number of disabled people who used to lie there, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there, who had been an invalid for 38 years. Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied. Then Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. My prayer for you today is that at the end of this message, Jesus is going to touch your life in the same way that he touched this man's life. This man was sick for 38 years until Jesus walked into his life. And I want you to know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So at the end of this teaching today, I'm going to tell you what Jesus told this man, where he said, get up, take up your mat, and walk. I'm going to challenge you today, if you've come and you need a miracle today, at the end of my teaching, I'm going to say, get up. Get up, and let's let Jesus do something powerful in this place today. How many of you know you don't have to be in a church building for Jesus to move? Amen? Yeah, and I want to encourage as we gather outside, I know no electric guitar with Pastor Roger. Bummer. No drums, you know? It's different, but that shouldn't change the way that we sing and lift up the name of Jesus, right? Amen. We can worship Jesus anywhere, anyhow. We don't have to have instruments. We can worship Jesus with all of our hearts. Amen. Yeah, and as we do that, I'm telling you, whether we're in the building or not, God's going to move just like he is this morning. I sense the presence of the Lord on this lawn, out here with us, and Jesus is going to touch lives today. Now, in this particular story, the Bible says this miracle takes place during one of the Jewish festivals. We don't know which one. I mean, the most common one was Passover, but there were a number of occasions where the Jewish people were commanded by God to gather. There were a number of steps. Can I use a different mic? This one's going in and out. Out too? Okay. It's going on and off though. Okay. Well, here's what I'll do. You guys are going to have to, you know, pay close attention because I'm going to get loud. I'm going to get loud so you can hear me whether the mic's on or off. Okay, let's just do a test right now. Turn it off. Turn me down. Can you hear me up there? All right. Okay. Here we go. I got my volume on then. In the Old Testament, God established a number of feasts and fasts. There was fasting times where people would repent and seek the Lord, and it would be a time of introspection. And I would submit to you that as a church in the United States, we could learn a little more about repentance, about fasting and seeking the Lord. But there were also times for feasting, because God knows we need both. God knows we need times of repentance, and God knows we need times to rejoice. Now, if you go back and do a study on this, you'll see that there were some fasting times, but there were way more feasting times. In other words, there's way more celebrating, right? And I want to encourage you in the days in which we're living, let's continue to celebrate the goodness of God and who Jesus is. Amen? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. So Jesus is here at one of the feasts. We don't know which one. But on this particular day, Jesus isn't joining the party. On this day, Jesus goes to this place called the pool. It's a pool of water, the pool of Bethesda. Okay? And it was in the city of Jerusalem. We actually know where that pool is today. So instead of being there where the party was going on, Jesus goes to this place where he finds this huddled mass of humanity. The Apostle John says that there are people there that were blind, lame, and paralyzed. All right? So all kinds of people, all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases, and this is where Jesus shows up. So in other words, I want you to see this. While everybody else was at the party, Jesus went to the people that were hurting, who were forgotten, who were forsaken. Isn't that just like Jesus? Come on, give me an amen. Isn't that just like Jesus? Right? Jesus goes to the hurting, to the broken. That's where his heart is. And I would submit to you today, if that's where Jesus' heart is, that's where our heart should be too. Amen? Yeah. You know, Satan, he has a PhD in the art of distraction. He wants to deceive us and distract us from what God is really up to. You know, that's how a magician works, right? A magician tries you to get you to look up here. You know, he's got a flashy, you know, handkerchief or something. Tries you to look up, get you to look up here. While you're looking up here, he's doing something over here. Right? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. With all the noise in the media, CNN, Fox News, politicians that are trying to posture themselves not because they care about people, but all they're concerned about is getting reelected, with the circus that's taking place in social media, with all of these things going on over here, let me suggest to you, don't get your eyes off of what God is doing over here. Because over here, there are people that need Jesus. Over here, there is a young man growing up in the streets of Chicago who really does go to bed hungry at night. And because he goes to bed hungry at night, he can't concentrate at school. And because he can't concentrate at school, he's not doing well. Even if he could concentrate at school, his school is underfunded and under-resourced. And so because he's getting discouraged at school, feeling like he'll never amount to anything, the gang that's been trying to recruit him looks more and more enticing. And if he gets involved in that gang, there's a good chance he's going to spend the rest of his life in and out of prison and in and out of making bad, poor decisions, repeating the cycle. And I want to suggest to you, while the rest of the world is looking over here, Jesus has his heart and his mind on this young man. Amen? Our world is desperate for hope. Desperate. And they don't know that the hope they're looking for is Jesus. But church, we do. And that's why the gospel is the good news. Church, don't shrink back. Let's keep talking about Jesus. Amen? Let's keep lifting his name up and pointing everybody we can to Jesus. Let's fill this lawn up with people that we've invited to come and hear about Jesus. Amen? Yeah. This is where the heart of Jesus is. So Jesus shows up to this huddled mass of broken humanity, and he focuses in on one person. The Bible says this man had been an invalid, paralytic, presumably, for 38 years. 38 years, that's a long time to be sick. That's a long time. Anybody here 38 years old? 38 years old, right there. You've been around for a while. Not as long as me. But 38 years, I mean, that's a decent amount of time, and that is a long time to be waiting for a miracle. That's a long time to be waiting. And he's been waiting here at this pool because he thinks there was a legend that whenever the water was stirred, that was an angel from God stirring the water, and the first one in the pool gets healed. Right? So that's what this guy is waiting for. And as he's there, Jesus asks him the question, learning his story, Jesus asks him the question, do you want to get well? And Jesus says, yeah, I want to get well. But sir, every time the water gets stirred, there's no one to help me in the water. Now, I want you to just think, and I'm not putting this guy down, he doesn't know who Jesus is. But in reality, it's pretty absurd. This guy is in the presence of the author of life, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, our Savior, our healer, our Redeemer, the one with whom nothing is impossible. And so when Jesus asks him the question, do you want to get well, he starts talking about getting into a pool, right? Because that's where his mindset is. He thinks that's his only hope. Listen, Jesus didn't even need the pool to get this guy well, amen? Yeah. And I want to encourage you today, you know, sometimes we forget who Jesus is. We forget how great he is. That he is our Savior, our healer, our provider. We forget that he is coming back soon. And we have victory in the name of Jesus, amen? Never forget that Jesus is bigger than anything that's going on in our world. Jesus is bigger than coronavirus. Amen? Jesus is bigger than the economy. Jesus is bigger than all the Democrats and Republicans put together. Jesus is bigger. Never forget who we're dealing with here, right? That with him there is impossible, nothing. And so it's kind of absurd. Here this guy's talking to Jesus, the author of life, and he starts talking about this pool. Listen, it's a good thing to tell our problems to Jesus. That's good. The Lord invites us to do that, to tell our problems to Jesus. But sometimes we need to tell our problems about Jesus. We need to remind our problems that Jesus is bigger than them. Amen? And even doing that verbally with proclamation, declaring who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you to do that in a few minutes as we pray for people. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to encourage you, let's remember who Jesus is and let's declare his greatness over everything that you're facing. Some of you, you're sick today in your body. You've got something going on physically. You need a healer. And Jesus is the one who heals. He is able. Everybody say it with me. He is able. Say it again. He is able. You know, one of the really exciting things that we've seen, if you followed this in the news, with all the crazy things that are going on, Jesus is still at work. How many of you have seen this incredible beach revival that's taken place down in California? Thousands of people gathering at the beaches, being saved, being healed, being delivered. And it is so exciting. And then this huge tent revival that I was reading about going on down in Georgia, drug addicts are being delivered. God is at work because God, amen, because nothing can stop Jesus. All the laws in the world cannot stop Jesus. You know, the church in China has been underground for decades, and they still haven't been able to stop Jesus in China. Amen? Yeah, he is great. He is awesome. So Jesus focuses in on this 38-year-old paralyzed guy that's been there for a long time, probably very discouraged. And then Jesus asks him this question. And come on, it sounds a little insensitive. Do you want to get well? I mean, come on, Jesus, do you really need to ask? Right? Listen, Jesus knew something about this guy. Jesus knew that this guy needed to want to get well. The fact is, when we've gone through something for a long period of time, there's this psychological thing that can happen where we almost make friends with that thing. And we start letting that thing define us. So when people, even after they've been set free from alcohol, continue to say, I'm an alcoholic. I want to say, no, 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 no. You're a set free alcoholic. Amen. You're set free. Or people define them, I'm a drug addict. Or I'm just not very smart. I can't make friends. Nothing ever works out for me. I'm a failure. Listen, these are lies of the enemy. Do not allow the enemy to define you by the things that have happened in your life. You let Jesus define who you are. And let him break you free. So when Jesus asks the question, do you want to get well? I want to ask that question of you today. Do you really want to be set free? Do you really want to get better? Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to leave your past behind? Because I'm telling you, when you make up your mind that you want to do it and Jesus is able, God's going to do a miracle in your life. God's going to do the amazing. The impossible must bow to the name of Jesus. I'm going to say that again because you should amen louder. The impossible must bow to the name of Jesus. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 38 years this guy is there until Jesus shows up. Listen, I don't know how long you've been waiting for your miracle, but I can promise you this, it's not too long for Jesus. It's not. In a moment, you can get up, take up your mat, and walk. You can walk away from whatever that thing is that's been holding you back and dragging you down and defining your life, because Jesus is just that good. He really is. He is able. He is able. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I want to pray. We're going to ask the Lord. I believe God is going to do miracles out on this lawn today. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. The Spirit of God is moving. I believe that God has shown me as I've been praying for this time. I believe that God has shown me that he is going to do some miracles today. God is going to do some life-changing stuff right now. He is. If you will trust him, if you will believe him. So we're going to take a moment right now. We're going to believe God, and we're going to pray. We're going to storm heaven, and we're going to believe, and we're going to get up, take up our mat or our lawn chair, and walk. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. So on the count of three, if you're here and you need Jesus to do a miracle in your life, first and greatest miracle is if you need Jesus to come in and invade your life. You've been trying to live without the Lord, and you keep bumping up against a wall, and it's just not working. Jesus said, and I already quoted it, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's the first and greatest miracle, having your past forgiven. Having a new life in Jesus Christ. It's a decision I made when I was 11 years old. And I can tell you, church, I've never looked back. I've never looked back and wondered, I wonder if my life would have been better if I wouldn't have made that decision. Man, there are so many times I have looked back and said, Lord, thank you for getting a hold of me when I was 11 years old. Now, maybe it's taking your life a little longer. I want you to know that doesn't matter to the Lord. Your past doesn't matter to Jesus. He loves you right where you're at. If you've been addicted to drugs, he can set you free. If you're addicted to porn, he can break the bondage of pornography. If you've been addicted to alcohol, he is the one that delivers. He is able to do it all. To do it all. Some of you, there's been brokenness in your life over past events in your life, things that you had nothing to do with. You were the victim. You're the victim of some kind of abuse, and you feel like that abuse has held on to you and held on to you. Listen, that abuse, it will always be a part of your story, but it doesn't need to determine the rest of your life. Jesus will set you free. He will. He will. And so I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to say, get up, just like Jesus did to this guy. I'm going to say, get up. And if you need a touch from the Lord today, I'm believing that as we stand in the name of Jesus, and when you get up, you say, well, why do I need to get up? It's a step of faith. I'm asking you to take a physical step of faith and say, okay, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna stand on God's word. And I'm gonna believe God for a miracle right here on the lawn. Miracle on the lawn, it's coming right now. All right, so I'm gonna count to three. If you need something from God, you need a miracle in your life, you need healing, deliverance, salvation, forgiveness, whatever it is, Jesus has got it. So when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to stand up, all right? I'm going to say one, two, three, and then I'm going to say get up, all right? Here we go. One, two, three, get up. Get up. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get up. Put your trust in the Lord right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to just pray just over you right now. Lift your hands up to the Lord, will you? Just in a posture of receiving and believing. Lord, I surrender to you. I believe, Lord, that you are bigger than my problem. You are bigger than my addiction. You are bigger than my physical need. You are bigger than my finances. Lord, you are bigger than my fears. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I pray, Lord, for a release right now of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that addictions are going to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, for those that have been struggling with past abuse, Lord. And the enemy has used that to just beat them up and beat them up and torment them. Satan, in the name of Jesus, we command you to flee. We command you to flee in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh Lord, that intimidation and fear is going to be broken. And that you're going to fill us with the power of your love and the power of your Holy Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We are believing in you. We are trusting in you. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing over your people. Those that are suffering right now with sickness or pain in their body. And if you've got a particular pain, you can tell right now I'm struggling with this thing. I want to invite you right now. Just check it out. Just check it out. Let Jesus touch it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. For those that are in fear right now, God, over their job, over their finances, I pray, Lord, that you will show yourself to be reliable. You are our provider. God, in the name of Jesus, we put our trust in you. Our trust is not in the government. Our trust is not in our bank account. Our trust is not even in our own financial ability. Lord, our trust is in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church, praise him right now. Praise him, lift him up. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better. You can do better, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise your name, God. Hallelujah, Lord.